Well, saints, I don't know about you. Isn't it good to be together?
Amen.
It's good just to see one another.
Amen.
Well, dear saints, I feel that this time together is very special. I know a lot of you have probably covered this topic in Holy Word from Morning Word Bible. But I feel that this is so important that we should have a conference on it. I feel this is a word we gave in the International Elders and Responsible Ones training, not the last one, but the one before that one. And when we had that training, I felt this is for all the churches because it's so important. And our brother, I feel that before he went to be with the Lord, he bequeathed this to us. This is the way we go on. We'll see. Okay. Now, I'll come straight to the outline. I split one message in half. Aren't you glad? Half them. So I have two messages, but they're split in half. One, two, three, four. So if I go off on a tributary, I have time. All right. All right, now let's look at the overall title again. It's Loving the Lord and Loving One Another for the Organic Building Up of the church as the body of Christ. Remember in 1 Corinthians 8, Paul said, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. I like that. I like that very much. Now, the title says, well, it's the same as the overall title. To a certain extent, it's loving the Lord and loving one another, the most excellent way for us to be anything and do anything for the organic building up of the church as the body of Christ. Now you'll see these words, the most excellent way, come from 1 Corinthians 12, 31, the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, I'm going to show you a most excellent way. Then he goes into 1 Corinthians 13. Which is all in love. So it's quite marvelous to realize that. It's the most excellent way, brothers and sisters, for us to be anything or do anything for the building up of the body of Christ. It's the most excellent way for you to sit here and for me to sit here. Everything. Okay, now, let's come to the outline. Now, in Roman number 1, what we want to see is how faith and love are organically placed together in the scriptures. Now, Roman number 1 says, Paul commended the Thessalonians by telling them that your faith grows exceedingly and the love of each of you all to one another is increasing. Now, notice the words that I underlined here. I don't think... This verse is very precious to me because before you read the Bible and this is the logos, right? It's a written word. But when you pray over the word and pray it back to the Lord, this logos gets converted into rhema, which in the Greek is God's instant speaking, his personal speaking to us. It's his speaking to us with our name on it, I'll put it that way. And so when I saw this verse, I said, wow, our faith can actually grow. Your faith grows. Have you graduated from your faith growing? No, of course we haven't. Our faith needs to grow every day. Not only that, he said to the Thessalonians, your love is increasing. Your love is increasing. And it's the love of each one of you all to one another. So here we have faith and love. Isn't that wonderful? Faith is growing. Love is increasing. Don't you want that to be your situation? Okay, now A says... to believe in the Lord is to receive him as life. And to love the Lord is to enjoy the very person whom we have received. Isn't that wonderful? You believe in the Lord, you receive him as life. You love the Lord, you enjoy the very person whom you have received. Now, I think we say this later in the outline, but saints, we need to realize and have a strong impression of this, that life is a person. Life is a person. Of course, the Greek word for life here is not bios, where we get the word biology from. It's not psyche, where we get the word psychology from. It's zoe in the Greek. And you can go to college. There's a course in biology. There's a course in psychology. But you can't find a course in zoology. You can find a course in zoology, but not zoology. This is what we're majoring here, in zoology. And zoe is the divine, uncreated, incorruptible, indissoluble, eternal life of the triune God. And that life is a person. In John 14:6, the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the zoe. I am the life. You know, even our physical being, our outer being, you could say is bios. And one day we have psychology. Our mind is the leading part of our soul. That's psyche. But in our spirit, there's zoe, because this person has come into our spirit. Now, I don't need more bios. I've got enough bios. You can see that, right? And I don't need more psyche. What I need more of is zoe. Amen. More zoe. More life. But life is a person. And saints, isn't it marvelous? The way to enjoy this life, who is a person, is to love him. Amen. Give yourself to love him every day. When that alarm goes off, don't say, oh no. Say, oh Lord. Amen. Oh Lord. You ever say, oh no, when your alarm goes off? Yeah, I'm glad you're real with me. Yeah, I'm glad you're real. Oh no. Or sometimes, let's say we set the alarm for 6 a.m. Then we look, it's 5:45. Oh, I've only got 15 minutes more to sleep. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 119? He said, I anticipated the dawning of the morning. Amen. You know, so that I can spend time with you in the Word. Amen. You imagine that? So the psalmist wakes up. Of course, he doesn't have an alarm. Let's say his alarm is set for 6 a.m. He looks at 4 a.m. Oh, just 2 more hours. I get to spend time with the Lord. You know, Benson and I were giving a conference in Louisiana one time, and this brother stood up, and he shared this. He said, oh, saints, you know, I went to bed, and I woke up at 5 a.m., and I realized, oh, in 1 hour, I get to spend personal time with the Lord. He sat down, and Benson and I looked at one another, and went, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, we were so shined on, you know. Well, thank the Lord for the saints, you know. I could never forget that. But saints, this part, you can see this in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, with the epistle to Ephesus, because it says you left your first love. But if you keep the Lord as your first love, your reward is to enjoy him and eat him as the tree of life, which shows the way to enjoy this person who is the tree of life, symbolized by the tree of life, is to love him. Saint, is not a small thing to say in the morning, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. How about we say that together 3 times right now? Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
You know, when I look at people's faces, when they say, Lord Jesus, I love you, sometimes they're like this. After they say it, they're like this. They're happy because I noticed, I'm looking at all of you. I noticed one brother, he didn't say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I hope next time he says it. So his expression stayed the same. But with you saints, I know Chin Fu, you know. Chin Fu, since he moved to Europe, he is always shining, always shining. And when you have saints say, Lord Jesus, I love you, how can you not have a smile on your face? It's almost like you say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and he says from within, I love you too, right? So we need to love him, to enjoy him. Now let's go on. Faith is given to us by God so that by it we may receive Christ as our life. Love issues out of such a wonderful faith and enables us to live out all the riches of the triune God in Christ as our life, as our life. Okay, Roman numeral 2. Can you all hear me? Good, okay. My mic is off? Where's Benny? Hey, Benny. How about now? Muscle manus? Good. You know, this is the microphone man. This is what he needs to concentrate on. Listen, I used to be the microphone man. And I would take care of Brother Lee's microphone, believe it or not. I can tell you one time carrying a Carrie and I could talk to one another. Carrie said, Ed, what should we do? You know, when his mic went out, it was almost like, Houston, we have a problem. You know, with the astronauts, you know. What should we do, Ed? I said, Carrie, you go up there and change the mic. You know, I told Carrie to do it. So while Carrie was up there, I was trying to keep Brother Lee out of the picture because they're change of microphones. And I remember, what is going on up there? Because I saw Brother Lee doing this, and the saints were kind of laughing. Ron Billy said, what is going on? And finally, Carrie comes back. He said, oh, Ed, you cannot believe what happened up there. He's whispering this to me. And he said, it was like a bad dream. I wish it was a dream. He said, I feel like migrating to Juneau, Alaska, or something like that, you know. What Carrie did was this. See, we learn by making mistakes. And so he gave Brother Lee the microphone like this, you know, without. Brother Lee gave him back his microphone like this. It all got tangled up. So they were doing this. That's why they're doing this. Then after it all got untangled, Carrie goes to Brother Lee, Brother Lee, you have the same microphone. So he learned, you know, we learned, give Brother Lee the microphone like this, not like this. Okay. Anyway, I don't see Benny now. Anyway, praise the Lord. I appreciate his function. Okay, now, let's come to Roman number two. The Lord's recovery is a recovery of loving the Lord Jesus with the first love, the best love, and of loving one another for the building up of the organic body of Christ, which is the building up of the New Jerusalem as the goal of God's eternal economy. Now, saints, we need to realize that the Lord's recovery is a recovery of loving the Lord Jesus. As the first love, what that means. But when I came among the saints, it's the first time I ever heard people say, Lord Jesus, I love you. We are the Lord Jesus, I love you people. Amen. That's why I say, and when you wake up in the morning and you look in that mirror and it looks bad, say, Lord Jesus, I love you. You start off the day in the best way, in the best way. We have a chapter in one of our books. Of course, now we have the collected works, but we used to put out, you know, books. I mean, thin books. There's a chapter in one of the books, and the chapter title is Crazy Lovers of Jesus. You can go to any seminary in the world, and you cannot find a message with that title, Crazy Lovers of Jesus. When you love the Lord Jesus, you become, how do I say, divine and mystically crazy. It doesn't mean you're just crazy. You love the Lord. You know, when you love someone, you're crazy. You're crazy. When I began to love my wife, she's my wife now, she was all I could think about. Of course, I was an unbeliever then. But I remember looking out my dorm room, you know, the female dorms were here. I'm looking up, I could see her room. I said, I wonder what she's doing right now. You know, I was crazy. You get a cup of coffee, you're supposed to put cream in there. I get the ketchup. You know, that's how we should be with the Lord Jesus. We just love him. We love him. He's the one we want to talk about. I remember I got saved in Houston, downtown Houston, and I worked for this big oil company, and I went to, you know, we had cubicles. And, you know, for me to work in a place where there's a cubicle is not very good, because when I would speak on the phone, everybody on the floor could hear me, because I have because my voice is not good now, but I can't help it. My voice is like, it's like if you take someone from Italy and you tie their hands by. Anyway, that's not a. I love the Italians. I'm just saying. I'm the same way. I'm the same as an Italian. I couldn't speak if I couldn't, you know. But saints, we need to be crazy lovers of Jesus. So when I got saved, no one told me to preach the gospel. I didn't even know what that was. I remember when I received the Lord, and I received the Lord in the laundromat. A lot of you heard that story. I read a tract in the laundromat. It was a prayer in the back of that tract. I prayed it in the back of the laundromat. So while my clothes were being washed, I got washed in the blood of the Lamb. I got washed with the Spirit. And I still remember saying, Lord, what do I do now? I didn't know how to be a Christian. What do I do? And so the Lord just kind of spoke to me. The Lord is so sweet. You know, when you just get saved, you're like a little baby, right? The Lord's eyes. And you know, when you have a little baby boy or a little baby girl, you take special care of that baby. Like, I have grandchildren now, and my son is here, Dad, holding the baby. I was like, oh, I was like fear and trembling, holding that little baby. I used to hold babies, but I'm out of practice. You know, I just, and with babies, you do, if they say anything, you know, gaga, googa, you go, oh, hallelujah. You're so happy. It's the same way with new ones. New ones can say it. You know, well, you know, I think I love the Lord, but I don't love the Lord that much. Everyone go, hallelujah. It goes to 10 on the amen meter. Now, if I got up and said that, it would go 1. There's, oh, what's wrong with Brother Ed? Let's pray for him, you know. But no one told me to, okay, the Lord said this to me first. Read the Bible. You're Christian. You. So my roommate, he couldn't understand. He said, Ed, why don't you come in here and watch television with me like you used to? I said, I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. And when I was reading the Bible, and again, I say, the Lord takes care of his children in a special way. Just go on. Okay. Hey, Benny. Okay. The Lord's presence was just so real. And I remember I'd say within the first week, I was reading the Bible, didn't have anything to do with my particular circumstance, but the light of the Lord's presence was so bright within me. It was the first time I saw that I was a sinner. And I remember going to the bathroom, to our bathroom, and just weeping. I knelt down on the bathroom floor. I confessed my sins. I turned the faucets on so my roommate couldn't hear me weeping. Eventually, I said, our water bill is going to be really high. So I turned the faucets off, and I remember going outside, taking a long walk. And I consecrated my whole life to the Lord. And anyway, that's how the Lord cares for people. And so I go to work, and this other colleague of mine, he was in another cubicle. I went up to him, and I said, Bill, I met the Lord Jesus. He said, you met who? I said, I met the Lord Jesus. He said, Ed, there's a screw loose somewhere. You're crazy. I would say maybe 3 weeks later, he invited me to his home, just invited me. And so I went to his home, and I didn't know how to preach the gospel. I didn't have Mr. Human Life. But I loved the Lord so much, I just share with him about receiving the Lord. He prayed with me. He received the Lord. He was, I'm looking at you young brothers. Now you're smiling. You don't have to fake smile. You know, we do not have a ministry of misery. A ministry of joy. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry, brothers. I hope you still love me. Okay. Now, he received the Lord, and he said, you know, Ed, I knew this was going to happen when I invited you. And essentially, he was telling me, that's why I invited you. It's the first person I led to the Lord. So I was driving home, saints. I felt like my car was, you know, was flying. I just, oh, my goodness, I was just ecstatic that my colleague had gotten saved. But my point is, saints, when you love the Lord spontaneously, no one has to tell you to preach the gospel. You love this person. You just want to talk to people about him. You love this person. You want to shepherd others because you want them to love this person. Just like your brothers, I want your love for the Lord to increase after this meeting. Anyway, we'll get to the matter of the first love here and just in a minute. You know, in the, let me come back to Revelation 2, 1 through 7. The Lord, through the Apostle John, he writes to the church in Ephesus. Now, you have to remember, in Acts 20, the Lord stayed in Ephesus for 3 years. I'm not the Lord. The Apostle Paul stayed in Ephesus for 3 years. Can you imagine, God, if Paul was in London for three straight years? Don't you think the church in London would be revived, right? Okay, he stayed three straight years, and it describes what he did there. Then he wrote the epistle to the Ephesians, 6 chapters, so high, the revelation. Then, I think less than 30 years later, the Lord speaks through John to that same church, and he compliments them, but then he says, I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. That is the source of degradation throughout all the centuries of church history. That's the source of our degradation. If we leave the Lord as our first love, we're going downhill. You know, so you can remember the main points of this epistle just by 4 L's, the letter L, L apostrophe S, L's. And those 4 L's are love, life, light, and lampstand. Love, life, light, and lampstand. You love the Lord, you enjoy him as life. You enjoy him as life, you have the light of life. When you have the light of life, you put all of us together, we're a golden lampstand. We're shining the triune God out to all London, even to the whole universe. Okay, now let's come to A. It says that Christ whom we love is the church loving Christ. When we love him, we will love the church as he does. So Ephesians 5, 25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, saints, I want you to appreciate, first of all, I want you to really love the Lord Jesus. I'm real burdened for this. I want your enjoyment of the Lord, and mine too, to increase every day, every day. You know, the enjoyment of Christ solves all the problems in the church life. It solves all your personal problems. When you enjoy the Lord, all the problems are gone. What I'm saying is this. If you love the Lord, you love his word. You love this book. Amen. Don't you love this book? Amen. When I came into church life, the saints, they love the Bible. And then they show me, like a mechanic. He says, Ed, did you ever see? He was born of the capital S spirit, his spirit, lowercase. I said, I never saw that. Uppercase, lowercase. The spirit himself witnesses with our spirit. I never saw uppercase, lowercase. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in lowercase spirit. I said, my goodness, it's a mechanic. Show me things in the Bible like this. I was just in awe. And I was brand new. And the saints, they would testify, short testimonies, like we should share here when I'm done. I used to really like the saints here. One time Benson came. He was in Dallas at that time. He came to Houston. He stands up to share. And I'm thinking, why is that brother sharing so long? You know, Benson is ministering the word. He's full of riches. So that's his portion. I didn't know that. Then why is that brother sharing so long? That's ridiculous. Of course he should share that long. But inwardly, everything I heard from Brother Benson's mouth was this book. So the brother who was sitting next to me, he said, Ed, you see that brother? He just speaks what Brother Lee speaks. When I heard that, I realized, well, what he speaks is what the Bible speaks. So what this person, Brother Lee, speaks has to be what the Bible speaks. So inwardly, this is amazing. I said, I want to be just like him, just like Brother Benson. He just speaks what Brother Lee speaks, which is the Bible. And then I found out, you want to know the secret? You want to know Brother Benson's secret? It's in that book room over there. You better go to that book room. It's all in the books. And anyway, since I'm saying this, do not take the ministry for granted. Do not take the footnotes for granted. There are many footnotes here that I can testify Ron and I are still discovering things. For instance, there's a footnote in Romans 5:14. The last sentence, it says, Romans 5 through 8 can be considered as the kernel of the Bible. I read that. I had read that before, lots of time, but it became rhema to me. So I emailed Ron. I said, Ron, look at this sentence. Isn't this wonderful? I asked the trainees, what's the kernel of the Bible? I said, I already know what your answer is. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, which is true. Then I said, what chapters in the Bible are the kernel Bible? They couldn't answer. And before that footnote was flashed into me, I couldn't have answered it. So Ron and I were so inspired by one sentence. We spent one semester on Romans 5 and 6, and another semester on Romans 7 through 8. So Romans 5 is in Adam. Romans 6 is in Christ. Romans 7 is in the flesh. Romans 8 is in the spirit. That's the whole Bible. Actually, all right, so don't take these footnotes for granted. Now, you know, Ron noticed this note in Ephesians 5:25. I think it's a footnote from there. It says this, I'll read it to you. It says, love is the very element, the inner substance of God. The goal of this book, the goal of Ephesians. What would you say is the goal of Ephesians? Listen to this. The goal of this book is to bring us into God's inner substance that we may enjoy God and love and enjoy his presence in the sweetness of the divine love, and thereby love others as Christ did. And now, could you have said that to me, brother? If I hadn't read that to you. Okay, maybe next meeting, you can say that to us. Anyway, don't be nervous. I won't call on you. But we should pray over that. We should pray that back to the Lord. That's a discovery. That's a discovery. You see, Jeremiah 15:16, we could quote that verse, but we skip over the first part of the verse. It says, your words were found. That means you made a new discovery. Your words were found. And what do you do when you find the words? You eat them. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart. What's your gladness level this morning? Is it here? You know, like with a car, you put the dipstick in. They call it the dipstick here? Probably not. What do they call it here? Dipstick, okay. Anyway, I thought it was like the trunk, the boot and the trunk, okay. The dipstick, you know when your car is smoking, Well, you look under the hood, but the oil is low. You need to put more oil in there. Well, if I put the dipstick in each one of you, how much oil of joy is in there? And I speak to myself too. When you're smoking, you know, oh my goodness, Lord Jesus, I need to spend more time with you. You know, I spend time with the Lord every morning, and I spent my time with the Lord in the morning at our house in Anaheim. I come downstairs and get in my email. What comes to me? Email. This problem, that problem, this problem. Problems come to a few of us that didn't come to us before, because these are problems that brotherly faith. He was our umbrella. Then he went to be with the Lord. Then we had Benson and Andrew. And then Andrew went to be with the Lord. So, problems. So, I'm looking at these problems, and I mean, my wife says to me, Ed, you need to go back upstairs and pray some more. I mean, she could tell. And the Lord just kind of said, Ed, this has always been my practice, but it was like the Lord was my, Ed, why don't you talk to me about these problems? You've talked to me about everything else. You've talked to me for years. You've been real with me for years. Why don't you just talk to me about these problems? They might be big problems. Why don't you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Even say that, and you'll get comforted. Lord Jesus, what should I do? What should we do? We don't know what to do. Only you can solve this problem, Lord. You know, you can converse with the Lord about everything. We had a time with the brothers, you know, yesterday. And one line said, the Lord is the best listener. Amen. He likes you to be real with him. He likes you to talk to him. He likes you to speak genuinely to him from your heart. Amen. So, if you have sorrows, if you have disappointments, if you have depressions, he wants you to talk to him about them. If you're in sorrow and you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so happy. He'll say, you're not happy. Why are you telling me that? Why don't you just be real with me? Then you're real. You say, oh, Lord, here's the difference. You say, oh, I'm so sorrowful. Just say, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorrowful. Makes a big difference, you see. Then the Lord has a way to speak to you, to infuse himself into you, and then he becomes your joy, increases your joy level. My point is, I just read you this footnote, is don't take the footnotes in the recovery version for granted. There are many, many footnotes that I can testify that I labor with Brother Ron. You have your function, we have our function, and I treasure all your function. I mean, they're like, wow, I never saw that before, you know? And so, I mean, you just consider this footnote. The goal of this book, the goal of Ephesians, is to bring us into God's inner substance, which is love, that we may enjoy God as love. Don't you want to enjoy God as love in this meeting? And enjoy his presence in the sweetness of the divine love, and thereby love others as Christ did. It's wonderful. And he's the church loving Christ. If you love him, you're loving the church loving Christ. You contact him, you enjoy him, you touch him, you become a church-loving brother or sister. Now let's come to B. The degradation of the church begins with our leaving the first love toward the Lord. To love the Lord with the first love, the best love, is to give the Lord the preeminence, the first place in all things, being constrained by his love to regard and take him as everything. Now, you know, many believers think that to love the Lord with is to love the Lord with the love you had when you first got saved. And when you first received the Lord, it's we have a hymn in our hymnal. It says something like, the sky is bluer, the grass is greener. You notice things that you never noticed before. You never even looked at the grass. So you just, oh, Lord, thank you for the grass. Thank you for the sky. Thank you for the trees. I remember I even thanked the Lord for the pigeons in the park. I said, thank you for the pigeons, Lord. And the pigeons make a big mess. The guys who had to clean up that park, they wouldn't thank the Lord for the pigeons, but I did. I thanked the Lord for my boss. I said, Lord Jesus, thank you for my boss. No one liked my boss. But I began to love my boss. I prayed for him. And so when you love the Lord, when you get saved, you love the Lord. It's your honeymoon. But eventually, that honeymoon can turn into a vinegar moon. A vinegar moon. And I'm sorry, even marriage life is like that. You say, and I'm not saying you should put some vinegar into your marriage life. But the fact is, you have a honeymoon, and sometimes it's a vinegar moon. Because we're not fully transformed. Right, Mike, you're not fully transformed. Here's Emily, she loves you, you love her, no doubt about it. Sometimes you've got some vinegar in you, right? And Emily goes, oh, Lord Jesus. And so, it's so good you guys are partners, right? I feel that way about my wife, but saints, okay. To have the first love for the Lord, strictly speaking, is to give him the first place in all things. Amen. Give him the preeminence in all things. And look at this. To give the Lord the preeminence in all things, what is it? It's to be constrained by his love to regard and take him as everything in our life. So when we pray, Lord, I want to take you as everything today. I want you to be everything to me. I want you to be my life, my light. I want you to be my breath, my food, my water, my life, my light. I want you to be my home. That's all from the Bible. Abide in me, and I in you. Isn't he our home? Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. He's our home. I was on a flight one time, coming back from a conference, and the stewardess asked me, where's your home? I thought for a minute. I said, my home is the Lord Jesus. You know what she said? Praise the Lord. That was good. She was a sister. Okay. I bet she never had a passenger say that to her before. Okay, see, look at this. The very life that we received when we believed in the Lord Jesus is a person. And the only way to apply and enjoy this person is by loving him with the first love. Now, saints, I love this next sentence, and it really touched me this morning, reading it again. Since the Lord Jesus as our life is a person, we need a new contact with him to enjoy his present presence tomorrow. Does it say tomorrow? Does it say next meeting? What does it say? Right now, to enjoy his present presence. The word present is there to emphasize his present presence at this very moment. Amen. And day by day, and day by day. So I read that. You just have to pray over that. Lord, I need a new contact with you right now. I want to enjoy your present presence at this very moment. Even at this very moment, right? He is the moment by moment Christ. And again, we have a hymn in our hymnal. It says, moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, you know, that's the first phrase, moment by moment. And that's the way we should be with the Lord. You know, the Lord is the I am. He's not the I was. He's not the I will be. He is the present tense. Before Abraham came into being, I am. I am. He's the present tense. Now, let's come to, these verses are quite marvelous on this point. I'd just like to mention a few of them. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15, Paul says, the love of Christ constrains us. What does it constrain us to do? The love of Christ constrains us that we may no longer live to ourselves, but to him who died for us and has been raised. Now, if you look in the footnote again, there's a footnote on the word constrains. And it tells you that this Greek word means to press on from all sides, to hold to one end, to forcibly limit you. So when you pray, Lord, constrain me with your love, he forcibly limits you to himself. It means to confine to one object within certain bounds, to shut up to one line and purpose, as in a narrow walled road, a narrow walled road. And we'll say more about this in a little bit. You know, Romans 6:4 says that we should walk in newness of life. I like that. Live, move, and have your being in newness of life. Don't be old. Don't be set. Don't be settled. Don't be occupied. It's a good definition of oldness. You're set, you're settled, you're occupied. You're set, no one can change your ways. You're settled, and you're occupied. You know, settled, I give an illustration like this. When I was a little boy, my dad had his chair that he sat in. It was his chair. And so when he come home, he would sit in his chair. You could have put that chair in the Smithsonian Institute. So he wasn't home one time, and I sat in the chair. I'm just a little boy, you know, big chair. I hear him come in. I got out of that chair, just like that. And then, you know, here's what happened. Now, I'm a dad. I have four boys. I discovered I'm just like my dad. Not like that now. I am a little bit like that now, though. Now I think about it. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Okay, I have my chair. I have my chair. My boy's in there. I said, that's my chair. I need to move somewhere else. That means you're settled. You're settled. Anyway, don't be set. Don't be settled. Don't be occupied. Don't be set. That means, you know, when the Lord went by the seashore, he called James and John, right? And they were in business with their dad. No doubt their dad was a good businessman. I would have called the dad. He has more experience than these young people. But he didn't do that. He called them because they weren't set. They weren't settled. They weren't occupied. We need to be occupied with Christ, not by anything else. And so we need to serve in newness of spirit. Don't serve in oldness. Serve in newness of spirit. You know, if you read the life study of Leviticus, the life study of 1 and 2 Samuel. This is the Aaronic priesthood had degraded. So I believe there's a title of some messages. In that title, it talks about the staleness of the Aaronic priesthood. The staleness. Do you like stale bread? No one likes stale bread. Do you want to be stale? I like to be fresh. I like to be new. I like to be living. I like to be young. I like to be vital. We need to print. Those words come from a book. You know that. Fresh, new, living, young, active, vital. You read those words, you have to pray them back to the Lord. Lord, make me fresh. Make me new. Make me living. Make me young. Make me active. Make me vital. Make me burning. And I'm not talking about strange fire. I'm talking about I like to be burning with you as my fire. That fire never goes out. So we want to serve in newness of spirit, not staleness, not oldness, not lukewarmness. You know, in Revelation 3, it talks about the church in Laodicea, right? And it says, the Lord's speaking to them, and he says, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, I just spew you out of my mouth. One version says vomit. You imagine that? I don't want the Lord to spew me out of his mouth. Are you kidding me? Now, let's consider tea in London. Hot tea, right? And you know what I was amazed at in London? And I was just in New Zealand. You're laboring, doesn't matter what you're doing. You're ministering the word. It's tea time. It's tea time. I said, what? No, I didn't say it out loud. I said, well, we're doing something here. And it's tea time, so I got to like tea time. And it's hot tea, right? And not lukewarm. Now you go to Texas. I am not a Texan. I grew up in Pennsylvania. But even if I grew up in Texas, I'm not a Texan, I'm a God man. Amen. Now you go to Texas. Texas, that whole big state, is the iced tea region of the whole world. Wherever you go, iced tea, iced tea. Doug, am I right? Iced tea. I go with the brothers to, I don't see any brothers here. When Doug used to be in Texas, Oklahoma, I don't see any brothers here from Texas. Anybody from Texas here? Oh, thank the Lord, brothers. Hey, brothers, do you drink iced tea in Texas? All the time. Thank you, thank you. That's proof. All the time. So, hey, brother, you know, I remember when, I'm looking at my time. I remember when I first, the brothers would meet, the elders, we would go to cafeterias, like Luby's. Is Luby's still there?
I think so, yeah. I live in London.
See, you could never forget iced tea. Okay, Luby's. And then there's another cafeteria called Wyatt's. Not there anymore. But I think Luby's might still be there. Okay, you go, I would say Texas is almost the regional cafeteria of the entire world. There's cafeterias everywhere, you know. People don't bring your food to you. You go through a line, you get your food. Oh, I like this, 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 and this. Then you get to the cashier, you go, oh my goodness, I didn't believe, I forgot that I got all that stuff. Your bill is $20. Okay, anyway, let's come back, let's come back. Look, either iced tea or hot tea, lukewarm, not lukewarm tea. The Lord doesn't like us to be lukewarm. He likes us to be, he even have you be cold. Because if you're cold, he can turn you. He can turn you. If you lukewarm, you're in a very dangerous place. The Lord said to the Laodiceans, he said, because you say, I am wealthy and have need of nothing. That's a terrible situation to be in. I'm wealthy. I don't need anything, right? So the Lord says, I counsel you to buy from me. First, he said this, you don't realize you're wretched, you're miserable, you're blind, you're poor, and you're naked. That is your condition in my sight. So I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, white garments to clothe your nakedness, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Now what is that? That's a triune God. Gold is God the Father in his divine nature. White garments is God the Son lived out of us as our subjective righteousness. Eye salve is the anointing spirit to anoint our eyes that we might see. And so we have to pay the price to gain more of the triune God every day. So again, we need to say no to oldness, yes to newness, no to lukewarmness, yes to being burning, be burning in spirit. It says that in Romans 12, be burning in spirit. You know, when you pray read, I'm talking about your personal pray reading now. We pray read corporately, we repeat read, and we should do that. But when you have a personal time with the Lord, you need to take these words and personalize them. Personalize them. Talk to the Lord with the words of the Bible. When it says, be burning in spirit, you might say, Lord, forgive me. I'm lukewarm. Lord, set me on fire for you, Lord. I like to be burning in spirit. Anyway, we need to make this book needs to become real to us, real. Now, let's come to D. We must be persons who are flooded with and carried away by the love of Christ. The divine love should be like the rushing tide of great waters toward us, impelling us to live to him and love him to the uttermost, beyond our own control. I like this, you know, we have a hymn, again in our hymnal. It says, thy mighty love, O Lord, constraineth me. As some strong tide, it presses on its way. Then there's a line that says, O tide of love, flow in. O tide of love, flow in. That means that tide carries you along. You have no choice. Your choice is over. That tide carries you wherever it's going. So this is how we want the love of the Lord to be to us, where we have no choice. We have no choice. I think if you check your experience, you've had experiences like that, like this, where you felt like, I'm going to retire from church life, maybe inside, and you had a talk with the Lord, eventually his love. Like a tide. You're still here. We're still here, right? Okay, let's go to E. In order to love the Lord to the uttermost, we need to be those who desire and seek to dwell in the house of God all the days of our life, to behold his beauty. Now, what is his beauty? His beauty is his loveliness, pleasantness, and delightfulness, and to inquire of God in his temple. Now, saints, listen to this. It's a wonderful definition from the Life Study. I always wondered, what does it mean to inquire in his temple? Look at this. To inquire of God is to check with God about everything in our daily life. Isn't that wonderful? And saints, practically speaking, that's what it means to give him the first place. You check with God about everything in your daily life. You are not on automatic pilot. You know, Lots of times we're on automatic pilot. We buy a car, just say, oh, I like that car. It's a Rolls Royce. I saved up for it. Did you check with God? You know, if I pulled into the parking lot with a Rolls Royce, I think a lot of the brothers would start fasting and praying for me. And does Ed think he's a televangelist now? I mean, what is going on here? I'm sorry, I'm not against Rolls Royces. But if you check with the Lord, you're not going to get a Rolls Royce. I'm not against people who drive Rolls Royces. I like to preach the gospel to them, get them saved. You know, if you have a really nice car, I've seen some people, I go to park, they're parked diagonally, like this. Why are they parked diagonally? Because they don't want someone to hit their car with the door when they open the door. So they park diagonally. When I look at them, I say, man, whoever owns this car really needs the Lord. You know, I don't park diagonally because I don't care. Hallelujah. And those lines tell you how to park. Our conscience will not let us park like this. I don't know if any of you park like that. You need to start park like this. But check with him about everything in your daily life. So, Lord, what kind of car do you want me to buy? Lord, what kind of tie do you want me to wear? We don't have a dress code in the church life, but we check with the Lord. We check with him. How do you want me to cut my hair, Lord? Listen, you can read the ministry. I'm not saying things that the ministry doesn't say. Check with the Lord about the way you cut your hair. You know what, I had four little boys, they're all grown now. And I always had to say when they were growing up, go look in the mirror, comb your hair. Go look in the mirror, comb your hair. Then they got to be junior hires, LA gel. You probably don't have LA gel here. Their hair could survive a hurricane and not one hair would move. I didn't have to tell them to comb their hair anymore. I don't know what happens. 9th grade, 10th grade. You just, you know. Then the sisters. The sisters, I see sisters, and they, one sister is brushing the other sister's hair like this. Then they switch places. They take a long time, a long time. Now you should brush your hair, and we should comb our hair. You know, if I had hair like Albert Einstein up here, you would all be looking at my hair. It'd be a distraction. Saints, we are ambassadors of Christ. Amen. So we represent Christ wherever we go. In our words, in our behavior, in our dress. You work construction. You don't dress like this. I work construction with the brothers. Oh, they had such divine dignity. Even with their work clothes. Was so dignified. Everything about them was dignified. The way they swept the floor, everything. I really was touched by them. But check with God about everything in your daily life. Do not be on automatic pilot. This is to give the Lord the first place. I mean, just think, brother, what's your name?
Friday.
Friday, wow. Is it Friday today? Huh? It's Saturday today. Yesterday was Friday. But you are the I am Friday, right? You're the now Friday. That's right. Friday, do you have a family? How many children? Whoa. Same as me, brother. Are they all boys? Wow. I bet your wife likes that one girl. I had four boys. Even my dog was a boy. And I'm a boy. My wife has to be an overcomer. But just think, Friday, if your wife, you came home, and she says, oh, Friday, I just bought a $10,000 car. It's sitting in the driveway. Aren't you happy? Would you be happy?
$10,000.
Yeah.
Very happy.
What?
Probably happy.
No, you wouldn't. She didn't. She spent $10,000 out of your bank account without even checking with you, and you're happy? Be real with the Lord. You know, why would you be bothered? Because she didn't check with you. You are her husband. So she should check with you. It's just an illustration. So you have to go along with my illustration. To give him the first place means you check with him. In Joshua 9, I think it's verse 14, this whole chapter talks about how the Gibeonites tricked the Israelites. They tricked the Israelites. Actually, they were Hivites. And the Hivites were one of the tribes that the children of Israel was supposed to destroy. And so they realized, we're going to get destroyed, so we're going to trick them. So I won't say what they did. They did these things. And they, you know, they deceived the Israelites. You know why? Joshua 9:14 says this. They did not seek the counsel of Jehovah. See, if we don't seek his counsel, it's not good. We need to seek his counsel in everything. We need to check with him about everything. Everything. And I say this about, you know, the reason why I said that about the sisters? I was sitting on the front row one time. Well, he said, Brother Ed, how long does it take you to comb your hair? I said, where's my cardiologist? You know what I mean? My heart just, I never considered how long it takes me to hold, comb my hair. So inside, just, Lord, how long does it take me to comb my hair? I said, well, brother, maybe about a minute, 45 seconds, something like that. He said, very good, Brother Ed. I said, oh, praise the Lord, you know. In other words, you need to take the time. But don't take too much time like your sons with L.A. Gel. Take enough time to make yourself presentable, you see. And saints, you know, okay, we love the Lord. We don't want to misrepresent the Lord to anybody. So I was with Benjamin Chen. We were giving a conference in the Dominican Republic. I had to go through Miami to get home. And the person in security, young man, he said, sir, are you a senator? You look like a senator. I couldn't believe it. You look like a senator. And again, this all happens, you know, inwardly. He said, are you a senator? I said, no, I'm not a senator. I'm an ambassador of Christ. Amen. You know what he said to me? That's much better. That's wonderful. That's much better. Okay, now, Roman numeral 3 says, among the co-workers, the elders, the responsible ones, and everyone, that includes all of us, everyone in the vital groups, love must prevail. That includes every one of us. And I know, I've edited all of Brotherly's ministry on the vital groups in English. But don't be religious. You get with another brother, you should be vital. Three brothers, vital. Brothers and sisters, vital. This means you should be vital. We are a large vital group in this meeting. So this applies to all of us, all this fellowship. So A says we have been regenerated to be God's species, God's kind, and God is love. You see, remember in Genesis 1, he made everything according to its kind, right? The plant life, the animal life, according to its kind. Kind there means species, species. But when it came to man, he didn't say, let us make man according in our image according to man's kind. He didn't say that. He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So before the fall, there's no mankind. Before the fall, there's only God kind. So since we become God in his life and nature, but not in the Godhead, we also should be love. Isn't God our Father? Is he love? So what should you be? Love. Okay, now, when I said there's no mankind before the fall, what kind are we now? We're God mankind. That's a new kind, a new species. You know, saints, we need to be bold. Don't say, you know, the opposers, they say, oh, these people say they're God, man. Yes, we do. We do. I wish I had. Hey, brother, how old are you? 33. My youngest son is 35. Okay, you're still young. Can you come up here for a second? You're still young. And just stand right here. And look at the saints. Okay. Are you a man?
Yes.
Does God live in you?
Yes.
So what does that make you?
A God man.
Very good.
Amen.
Thank you. Isn't that simple? Of course. That's biblical. Thank you so much, brother. You answer me by T. You let me use you for illustration. God man. Isn't that simple? So opposers write things about us, all kinds of things that are just filled with lies. And even there's this negative book called The God Man. You know what Brother Lee did? He put out a book. What's the title? The God Man. He didn't care about that. Okay, let me go on. Since we become God in his life and nature, but not in the Godhead, we should be love. This means that we do not merely love others, but we are love itself. Now, B says, we must keep ourselves in the love of God and be constrained by the love of Christ to lay down our lives on behalf of the brothers. Now, saints, we have one scripture reference there. It says 1 John 3:14-16. I want you to change verse 16 to verse 17. It's very important. Verse 17. Anyway, verse 17 is very good. It says, in this we know love, that he laid down his life on our behalf, and we ought to lay down our lives, which is soul. Our soul lives on behalf of the brothers. Then verse 17 says, if anyone has the livelihood of this world and sees his brother, you know, suffering, poor, we should give out of our livelihood to help this brother. We do it in secret. Otherwise, love is not practical. Love has to be practical. And we do it in secret. I like so much. I don't know where the offering boxes are here. Are there offering boxes here, brothers? There are. We don't know where they are. They're hidden. Maybe we should tell the saints where they are. But we like everything to be hidden. One time, Ruthie and I, we literally did not know where our next meal was going to come from. All of a sudden, there's a knock at, you know, we're just, Lord, what should we do? We're crying out to the Lord. There's a knock on the door. We open the door. The sister, she had two bags of groceries. She comes in our kitchen, opens the closet, puts the food in here, opens the refrigerator, puts the food in there, says, praise the Lord, saints. She goes away. I said, really, did an angel just come and visit us? I mean, what is this? What is that? That's love. That's love in practicality is what that is. That sister is so precious to me. Okay. Now, B, you know, it has Jude 19 through 21 on here. And Jude 19, you could say this is negative. That the ones who make divisions, it says these are those who have no spirit, soulish. They're soulish, having no spirit. That means they didn't care for their spirit. They didn't use their spirit. They didn't regard their spirit. And as a result, it was as if they had no spirit. It doesn't mean they ceased to possess a spirit. They did have a spirit, but they didn't use their spirit. They didn't employ their spirit. They didn't exercise their spirit. So it was as if they had no spirit. You see, earlier in Jude, it says the ones who make divisions are like animals without reason. An animal has a body, an animal has a soul, an animal doesn't have a spirit. So that's why we have to exercise our spirit, saints. We have to pray, Lord, teach me how to exercise my spirit now to contact you. You know, that's what makes us different. My dog, I have a dog. I love my dog. Every time he sees me, his tail's wagging. My boy's tails aren't wagging every time they see me. He's always happy to see me. I'm so thankful. I'm sorry, I love my dog. I mean, he's just always happy. He has emotions. He has a mind. His thoughts are always on dog food, okay? And bones, you know, okay? He has a will, but he doesn't have a spirit. You know, I used to work with the brothers, again, construction. We had a van, and when I was first married, my wife would make me, I call them honeymoon lunches, brown paper bag, and food bursting out of the bag with all kinds of delicacies, you know. Now it's just a bologna sandwich and a banana. You know, anyway, you know, I'm not that bad anyway. But it was like this. So I couldn't wait for lunch. And I said, brothers, it's lunchtime. They said, well, we always know when it's lunchtime. When, you know, Brother Ed will remind us, it's lunchtime. So I go up to the van. Hood of the van. My lunch is gone. I look down. This dog had eaten my lunch. And he was licking his lips and looking up at me. He wasn't bothered at all. He doesn't have a conscience. Conscience is a part of our spirit. He was happy. Your lunch was delicious. Now, if Mike had eaten my lunch, I looked at him and go, oh, Brother Ed, forgive me, you know. But my point is, man has a spirit. Now, let's reverse this. If you exercise your spirit, it says in Jude 19, it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, that's to exercise your spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's the Lord's second coming. So you got to, I'm saying it, you know, in reverse. You exercise your spirit by what? By praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, you exercise your spirit then the verse says this. You exercise your spirit by praying in the Holy Spirit. And when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you keep yourself in the love of God. And when you do that, you're waiting for the Lord's second coming. The Lord's second coming is his mercy. You see, it's unto eternal life. Okay, now let's come to see. God first loved us in that he infused us with his love and generated within us the love with which we love him and the brothers. To abide in God is to live a life in which we love others habitually with the love that is God himself, that he may be expressed in us. Isn't that wonderful? That is really wonderful, saints. I'm sorry, forgive me. Let me get this next page. All right. Now, D says, we need to beware of ambition and pride. Maybe you're a sister, you say, I don't have any ambition. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know, many times in the church life, when we first come in the church, I use the amen again. You first come in the church, amen. After 5 years, amen. Amen. And you go, why don't the saints say amen like they used to? Well, you're speaking isn't to get a big amen. You're ministering Christ to the saints. Sometimes you have to minister a sober word to the saints. I might say, oh, Lord. I might not say amen. You know, they have to deal with the Lord. Anyway, we can be ambitious. You get on a service group, and the saints say, well, we want Brother Friday is going to take the lead on this service group. Why didn't the brothers pick me to take the lead in a service group? What is that? That's ambition. We all have ambition in this flesh. Why do I say that? Because Satan was ambitious. He injected himself as sin in the fallen man's flesh. And if you look in Ezekiel 28, talks about his origin, and Isaiah 14, talks about the origins of Satan. One thing he said, I will ascend to the throne. I will be like the Most High. What he meant was he wanted to dethrone God. Dethrone God. You know what sin is? Sin is a dethronement of God. It's when you dethrone God. And so we all have ambition. We all have pride. You know, the mothers are always proud of their sons. And just consider James and John. The mother came to the Lord Jesus and said, Jesus, I'd like James and John to sit at your right hand and your left hand. Some moms are. One account in the gospel says this, the mother, the mom. Anyway, all you moms, think about it. Okay. Look, one, whether or not we will be useful in the Lord's hands for the long run, and whether or not we will bring in the blessing for a lasting time, does not depend on what we can do, but on how pure our heart is. We need to have a pure heart, purified from any form of subtle ambition and intention, purpose, motive, and action in the Lord's recovery. I forget, we were meeting before the meeting praying. I think one of the brothers shared this. You know, in the body of Christ, in my physical body, there's no ambition. There's in 1 Corinthians 12, it uses our physical body to describe the body of Christ. There's no envy in my body. The little finger doesn't say, oh, I wish I was an ear. You know, but if you look there, Paul says there's two erroneous concept that you saints can have. Number one is this. You say, because I am not an ear, I am not of the body. What that means is you want to be an ear. How do I say it? You're envious of others' functions. You like to have their function. Don't be like that. The other erroneous concept is I have no need of you. I don't need you. Forgive me, I'm going back to BC, before Christ. There was this song, I Did It My Way. Did they still sing that? Anyway, oh, they do. I did it my way. Don't do it your way. Do it his way. You know? Anyway, don't say I have no need of you. We need every brother and sister, don't we? And saints, we're the happiest when we are in our function. Am I right? When we are fulfilling our function, whatever that is, that's when we're full of joy. 1 Corinthians 12 says, God has placed the members in the body, each one as he willed. In other words, God willed you to be an ear. You're an ear. Now you say, oh, when I grow in life, I'm going to be an eye. No, you're going to be a bigger ear. You know, if my ear needs to be shepherded, you think my shoulder can shepherd my ear? Big joint, you know. I mean, big part of my body can shepherd my ear. Here's a little finger. Can shepherd my ear, right? The ear says, oh, thank you, brother finger, right? Isn't that wonderful? Okay, now, let's go to three. One more point. We should never hunt to be the first in any work for the Lord. Rivalry in the Lord's work is not only a sign of ambition, but also a sign of pride, referring to our capacity, success, perfection, and virtue is a careless form of pride. Saints, you know, and we're all in the same boat. When the Lord is using you in a particular way, that's a dangerous time because you can become proud. You say, oh, look at me. You know, Brother Lee said to Francis Ball and I, he's with the Lord. He said one time, he said, I tried to use this brother, but he took it the wrong way. In other words, he became proud. We should never hunt to be the first in any work for the Lord. Don't refer to your capacity, your success, your perfection, and virtue. That's a careless form of pride. Don't think the brothers that speak from the platform are, oh, it's Brother Ed, or Brother Ed, it looks like he lost some weight, thank the Lord, or whatever. You know, these brothers that speak from, we're not special people. We just have dysfunction. This is a ministry meeting. We have church meetings. Those are round table meetings. We have ministry meetings. It's like this. And so we're not special. We just have this kind of function. We're slaves. Brother Lee appointed three brothers in Anaheim to be elders. I was already an elder. He got them up on the platform. He said, I want all you saints to know, these brothers are your slaves. These brothers are your slaves. That's why Paul said, ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. Okay, I'll stop there.